It is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from George's Majestic Lounge and Fayetteville Roots, presenting bluegrass recording artist The Steel Wheels with Threepenny Acre tonight. Doors open at 7 with the show at 8. Limited table seating is available. George'sMajesticLounge.com for more information.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Springdale continues its discussion on what the city may look like in the future. Jacqueline Froelich recently attended a study session dedicated to what may be next, and she has that report. Plus, Shannon Wirth's fifth studio CD is ready for release, and she gives us a preview and discusses her release party that takes place this weekend.
And our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison, gives us a list of what did and did not impress at the 2013 Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas earlier this month.
First, as the state legislative session is getting underway, lawmakers have plenty of issues to decide, from capital punishment to tax reform. Many say the biggest, though, is Medicaid expansion. Speaking on Talk Business, Democratic Representative Warwick Sabin of Little Rock said he's in favor of Medicaid expansion.
Once you've really studied the numbers and the impacts that are involved, it becomes a no-brainer. And I don't say that to minimize the importance of the debate, but I think to reject an offer like that and for Arkansas to be basically contributing to a system to pay for the health care of people in New York and California and Michigan ultimately makes no sense.
Also from Talk Business, Republican Senator David Sanders, also of Little Rock, says he's worried about the effects and costs in the long term of expanding Medicaid.
The idea of putting an additional 250 or as much as 300 or maybe 320,000 people on it, depending on what our sister states do around us, you know, that is not a recipe for sustainability. So I think the focus that we have to have, one, is a slow, deliberate debate, not dragging your feet, but one where you are truly looking at the numbers and truly looking at the long-term impacts.
Aside from Medicaid, Sanders says his biggest focus for the session will be on taxes. Warwick Sabin says he will also be paying attention to the tax debate and focusing on education. We'll hear more from those legislators on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large.
A new report shows Arkansas's unemployment rate rose by 0.1 of a percentage point in December. But John Shelnut, an economist for the State Department of Finance and Administration, says this is not significant.
The rate for December rose to 7.1% from an even 7% in November. That is still 0.7% less than the U.S. rate for the same period.
That's 0.7 of a percentage point lower than from the same time the year before.
Late last week, the Arkansas Highway Department announced its preferred alignment of a proposed north-south corridor that would link Fayetteville to Rogers. According to a release from the department, the alignment would extend Highway 265 from Wagon Wheel Road in Springdale to East New Hope Road in Rogers. The path would use a combination of improvements to existing routes and new construction, and the route will follow Old Wire Road through most of Springdale before joining South First Street in Rogers. Before construction can begin, however, more survey and design work will be completed, at which point a public hearing will be held to hear public comment on the design proposal.
The city of Fayetteville is again being honored as a Volunteer Community of the Year. The city received the award at the annual Municipal League Conference last week in Little Rock. According to the city, the award is given by the Office of Governor Mike Beebe, the Department of Human Services Division on Volunteerism, and the Arkansas Municipal League. In the past year, more than 30,000 city residents contributed more than 557,000 hours of volunteer community service, ranging from cleaning streams and lakes, eliminating hunger and homelessness, and keeping seniors active, to teaching children's theater and keeping the city's trails safe. This is the fourth year that the city has been named a Volunteer Community of the Year.
A new report from the City Wire says home sales and median home prices rose across northwest Arkansas in 2012. Rogers saw the most home sales through the year, with 1,152 homes changing hands in the city, up about 4% from the previous year. The median home price in West Rogers rose 13.5% to over $224,000, while the median price in East Rogers totaled about $100,000. That's up just over 21% from the previous year. Fayetteville came in second on the list with more than 1,100 homes sold during the year. The majority of those were located in the west part of the city, where median home values rose to $162,500, up more than $15,000 from 2011. In the 72701 zip code, home prices went up 17% in 2012 to about $165,000. But home values fell more than $8,000 in East Fayetteville, resulting in a median home price of nearly $194,000. Behind Fayetteville in total number of home sales in 2012, Bentonville at number three with 895 homes sold. Springdale had 823. And rounding out the top five, Bella Vista with 754 properties sold in 2012.
An academic outreach program established by the University of Arkansas is growing. According to a release by the university, its College Access Initiative last year served more than 200 high school students from across the state. That number is up from 54 students in 2010. The program is designed to assist high school student populations that are underrepresented at the university. The program provides ACT training and counseling, academic enrichment and assistance with admissions and financial aid processes. All of the initiative's programs are reportedly designed to improve college readiness and college access to students from across Arkansas, especially those from underrepresented populations. The program is carried out through partnerships with dozens of high schools across the state.
Some winter, some fall, and a bit of spring in the next 36 hours. Mostly cloudy tonight. Lows will be in the upper 20s in northwest Arkansas, mid-30s for the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Highs will be around 63 in the Arkansas River Valley, reaching tomorrow into the mid-50s in northwest Arkansas. And for Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. Lows from the mid-30s in northwest Arkansas to the mid-40s for the Arkansas River Valley.
Springdale City planners, who've long sought to revitalize the downtown district, are collaborating with local stakeholders and a Portland-based landscape architecture firm, which specializes in green infrastructure, to cultivate a master plan. An open house charrette was held at Jones Center this week to present final concepts. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich attended the event and brings us the details.
Springdale's downtown is bound by Huntsville Road to the north, Caudill Avenue to the south, Old Missouri toward the east, and Thompson Avenue, Highway 71 to the west. Emma Avenue underwent revitalization some years back and looks pretty, but the eastern side of downtown illustrates classic suburban flight. Lots of faded low-rent buildings, some vacant. But change is coming. More than 150 residents turned out for the first planning charrette held last November, and this week many returned to review several draft master plans. Guiding the process is Charles Flink, a licensed landscape architect and president of Alta Planning and Design, which has completed green infrastructural plans for 225 communities across 35 states. And he sees Springdale as a blank canvas.
Well, the history of Springdale has always been this marketplace community, historically. When it was primarily an agricultural area, it was where the farmers would bring their goods to market and people would come here and purchase. So it has a wonderful history in that regard. And it still has this rich architectural fabric in the downtown, even though there's not much of it left. And looking forward to what Springdale can become as a community, I think you don't have to go very far to see the rebirth of downtowns and how much that means to a community. Look at Bentonville, look at Fayetteville, look at the success they've had, look at Rogers. So it can happen here.
Flink and his team also acknowledge the blooming diversity in Springdale. Of 71,000 residents, 35% are Hispanic, at least 6% Pacific Islander, and 2% Asian.
The goal with this downtown plan is to celebrate the diversity and to really draw it out, to accentuate it, but also to have a catalytic project, and that's the uncapping of Spring Creek.
Spring Creek runs through the center of Springdale in a culvert, a remnant 1970s urban flood control practice.
But we'd like to sort of, if you will, take off that concrete cap and then peel back the slopes and really have a more of a natural stream flowing through the center of town. Actually try to put more water back in the creek so that we can have a permanent pool, through the downtown so that the creek becomes a real amenity through the downtown, and then reorient development so that it's on that. So it's like a creek walk or a river walk.
Spring Creek has intermittent flow, but once boulders, pools, and aquaculture are installed, it will transform the downtown into a vibrant waterfront destination where residents live, work, shop, and eat, host festive events, celebrations, and music. To illustrate three possible futures for downtown Springdale, the Alta team posted three large architecturally rendered topographical draft schematics on the walls of the Jones Center Conference Room. The three plans are titled Linear Park, Expanded Square, and Town Square. Once again, Charles Flink.
In the Linear Park concept, we're trying to create more green space in the downtown and create a travel way along a trail through the downtown. We would open up certain sections of the creek. We would put an amphitheater in the downtown that could be used throughout the entire year. For example, in the winter, you could maybe flood the amphitheater and have it as an ice skating rink. In the summer, it serves as a place where people can gather in the downtown.
The expanded square would centralize around recently restored Shiloh Square, a large covered pavilion just off Emma near the railroad tracks, now home to a seasonal farmer's market.
In this particular design, our lines, the edges of the creek are a little bit more hard surfaced rather than natural. We focus more on putting buildings lining the creek through the downtown, and we enhance Shiloh Square by some additional investments to that landscape between Emma and Johnson Avenue. So that's the difference between Linear Park and Expanded Square. And then in Town Square, we are seeking to create between Emma and Meadow a brand new urban open space in the downtown and surround that with buildings, and it's called Town Square, and it really creates a new sort of celebratory space in the downtown that's multifunctional, that becomes really the heartbeat, the center of town. We don't have as much new building creation along the creek. It's a little further back, but we do enhance Shiloh Square with some more urban sort of formwork, and the rest of the creek is sort of left on either end, sort of north and south of Johnson and south of Meadow as a more natural system.
Charette participants, city planners, and members of the Downtown Springdale Alliance, representing a cross-section of business interests which funded this planning process, will make the final choice. But Charles Flink says any choice will profoundly change the downtown.
We think it really breathes a significant amount of life into the town. It creates a very unique downtown in Northwest Arkansas, because no downtown in Northwest Arkansas has this urban creek that becomes the centerpiece of development.
Lots of trees, mass planted and installed along bare city streets, and pedestrian lighting will warm the atmosphere. Planners envision children play areas, seating terraces, picnic spots, and lots of paved pedestrian walkways. Project funding has yet to be determined, but both the public and private sector will be involved. And Alta planners hope to develop the core as a desirable place, attracting new shops and restaurants, and as a hub along the Razorback Greenway Regional Trail, which cuts through the downtown. Alta Planning and Design is also the firm behind the 36-mile-long Razorback Greenway bicycle and pedestrian trail system, extending from south of Fayetteville north to Bella Vista.
And then the final three phases of the Greenway should be under construction this summer. So we'll have all phases of the Razorback Greenway under construction, sections in Springdale, sections in Fayetteville, in Johnson, in Lowell, and in Rogers. So we'll be doing construction all up and down the Greenway here in 2013.
And Springdale Mayor Doug Sprouse expects the trail and this revitalization project to draw lots of attention to his downtown.
And we're real excited about it. I'm excited about what I see so far, I tell you. And, you know, we just, there are a lot of opportunities downtown, a lot of people looking to and excited to take advantage of those opportunities, to invest, but I think everybody needs a plan.
And the mayor says residents are receptive to change. During the last general election, Springdale voters overwhelmingly passed a $71 million bond issue for road improvements across the city, construction of three new fire stations, and the installation of 200 acres of new parkland.
We're seeing a willingness among not only the city, but I think among our citizens, to invest in what downtown can be. And I think that's, you know, it's a slow process, but to do it right, I guess it has to be slow. And we want to take the right steps and do things in a way that will ensure success and growth, residential growth, along with commercial growth downtown.
Plus, the mayor said, Springdale needs to keep pace with the needs of its burgeoning diverse population.
Well, I'm having grown up here and lived through this tremendous change and growth, I couldn't be more proud of the way that our residents have adjusted and accommodated the growth, not only in population but also in diversity. And I'm just am so pleased and know that, you know, those things bring challenges. I was on the school board for 10 years before I became mayor, so I'm aware of the challenges, but what great opportunities, and I'm so proud of the way we've responded, and Northwest Arkansas has responded. You know, Northwest Arkansas as a whole is a much different place than it was when I was growing up.
A final downtown Springdale master plan should be ready for approval by April. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Once a nun, Karen Armstrong now writes about the world's great faiths.
Muhammad actually was very, very keen on the emancipation of women. He liked women. He liked their company. He did his own chores. He mended his own clothes.
A prophet for our time, indeed. I'm Neil Conan. Talk of the Nation from NPR News, challenging our beliefs, changing our ideas.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. I'm excited to invite back into the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison. Ty, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kyle, and you?
Very good. 2013 isn't even a month old, but already there's been plenty of high-tech and digital news. It starts with this thing in Las Vegas called the CES. What is that?
This crazy thing in Las Vegas, yeah. Every year, all the big hardware manufacturers and people who want to become big hardware manufacturers meet up in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Showcase, otherwise known to people who don't like it as CES. And it's a madhouse. There's some amazing things, and there's some silly things, and you get to see it all.
So what were some of the items this year?
Well, we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got phones. We've got TVs. Wearable technology is kind of the new, hip new thing, and we'll see some wearables. As far as phones, one of the phones that kind of got the most attention, and this is interesting because it almost seems a little backward thinking, but there's a phone called the Yoda phone.
Yoda, like the character from Star Wars?
No, Y-O-T-A, Yoda.
Yoda. Okay.
And it's an Android phone that has a normal Android interface that everyone's accustomed to these days, but the back of the Yoda phone has an e-ink display, like an e-reader, like a Kindle or a Nook. And those have exceptional battery life. And what you can do is set your phone to display things to you on your e-ink display, and it gives your phone days more battery life because you can look at a lot of stuff through the e-ink display, and then when you need to interact with stuff on your Android,
you can flip it over.
High-definition screen, you can flip it over and do that. And so as smartphones become more and more powerful, you hear everybody complain about, well, I got to charge my phone at least once a day now and things like that. And so the Yoda phone is taking a step to alleviating that with something like an e-ink display on the back. So
okay, that one I like. That one makes sense.
Yeah, it's a practical one. There's some really practical ones. Another really practical one that in regards to TV that everyone raved about, and this is one that you can get now, but it got under a lot of hot water, so to speak, because it's in litigation. Dish Network's Hopper with
yes.
the Sling adapter.
Okay.
So there's the Hopper.
Which skips commercials.
Skips commercials. And primetime anytime,
right.
Which is already controversial enough. And
because
then
CBS is suing
correct.
Dish over this.
Yes. And a lot of people, Viacom.
Right.
Also,
Viacom owns CBS.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. So
yeah.
Viacom. And Viacom owns a lot of media companies, obviously. And so the Sling adapter, I've actually got Dish Network, and I have a Sling adapter on my set-top box, and it allows me to access my content anywhere, like my smartphone, computer, tablet, internet, you name
and
it.
And not just at your house, but anywhere you are.
Anywhere I am.
If you're in a fjord in Norway, presumably, and you have Wi-Fi,
uh-huh.
and I think the fjords in Norway do, you could access content from your Dish subscription.
Yep. Excuse me. 4K TVs were the big move in TV land.
4K
TVs. 4K TVs. If you'll remember last year, we had a conversation along these lines, and 3D TVs. Everyone wanted you to buy their 3D TV. Well, they've officially given up on 3D TVs. They realized it's too much of a gimmick and doesn't look as great as they told you it did. And
okay.
So they're moving on. Although most high-end TVs now still have 3D capabilities, they're not making that a selling factor. 4K TVs, the resolution, 4K stands for 4,000, and that's the horizontal resolution. Mm-hmm. So right now most of us look at a 720 or 1080 resolution television. These 4K TVs have a resolution four times tighter than that.
So does that mean the image is sharper?
Exceptionally sharper. So much sharper. And here's the criticism of them. At a reasonable distance, the human eye can't distinguish it.
You can't even
people
tell
go,
what
what's
it
the
is?
Point? It's so – well, I mean, you can see things, but you can't – at a reasonable viewing distance, sitting on your couch, if your TV isn't really close to you, the difference between a 1080 resolution and a 4K resolution, it's hard to tell.
I see.
Now, that being said, people have always said that, but it's kind of one of those things where when you're watching one for a while and you watch go back to the other, you there's something different.
Okay.
There's something – you're just kind of like, what was
– So this is like HD plus.
HD plus, plus, plus.
Plus, okay.
So watch for 4K TVs, though you won't be able to get one anytime soon. Well, you can, but you would sooner want to buy a car because they the cheap guy on the block starts at $5,000, and that's the throwaway. Who wants that one?
Right.
So we're talking $10,000
okay.
out the door for a 4K TV that's worth having. But it allows for larger television sets.
Anything else that was at CES that we should keep an eye out for? Or?
Oh, yeah. One of the big things – there's a couple of things in gaming that were significant. One of them was the Razer Edge tablet, which is an Android tablet that docks into controls. And this is something that the gaming industry has wanted for a while. And so everyone's really excited about that because you've got the full power of an Android tablet, but you've got the familiar feel of a controller in your hand. And so this kind of takes the two and combines it to one. But beyond that, and this is actually going back in time to go forward in time, the Oculus Rift is a virtual reality helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 90s, we had things like virtual reality helmets.
Right.
And everything looked like cubist art. And
exactly.
You got motion sick. And so we all kind of gave up on that. And those were birthed from a lot of like Neal Stephenson cyberpunk novels and, you know, these dystopian futures where everyone plugged into this another world. And so we thought we were getting that in the 90s, and then it was like, no, this is awful, and everyone put it away. Well, the manufacturers of the Oculus Rift kind of held on to that, and they showed up with one at CES and blew everybody out of the water because, as you know, graphics have gotten substantially better, and everything's smoother now. Things run faster. And so there's not the kind of shakiness that there once was. And a lot of people are saying this is really something here. You know, Nintendo's kind of tried to do it with the 3DS, but the Oculus Rift is going to really change what people think of when they think of gaming because, you know, they even did 3D games on 3D TVs, and those didn't work out.
Right.
But this is going back to something and revisiting it and saying this might – still be worth our attention. So it's really cool. It's something to watch. The developer's release of it will be in March. And so not until then will we really see what people are capable of because people will be able to start writing games specifically for it. And then we'll really see what it can do. But a lot of people are paying attention to the Oculus Rift. So
Oculus Rift. I love the name.
That's fun. Wearables were another big thing.
You mentioned this. Okay, wearable electronics?
Wearable electronics.
So my jacket is a phone?
Your jacket isn't a phone, but your watch is. Smartwatches were everywhere.
Smartwatches.
And
I just gave up my watch because my phone now tells me the time.
I have to say, I'm the most excited. I actually have one of these coming to me. They're not ready yet. It's called the Pebble Smartwatch. There were a lot of smartwatches at CES. But this watch started as a Kickstarter project. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter.com is a crowdfunding site.
Right. You can fund your compact disc release. You can fund an artistic trip or something like a Pebble phone.
The manufacturing of a watch.
Yes.
And so what this phone does is it shows me the time, obviously, because it's a watch. And I said, what this phone does. But it also sync to my phone and it will display text messages. It'll display emails. It will allow me to control my music. It'll allow me to set notifications to come to my watch. And so I can walk into my home and put my phone down and just kind of leave it there and yet still be marginally aware of it. This is a modern problem, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I set my phone down and I want to not carry my phone. Mm-hmm. I hate carrying my phone. If it's bulky in my pocket and I feel like I'm at its – beck and call if I've got it on me. So I put my phone down. And you can ignore your phone for so long, but it sits there going, mm-hmm. and you're like, what information am I missing? Is any of this important? Because everyone knows that they can contact you now, so something might actually be important. But now with a device like this, I can put my phone down and see, I get a bzzz, and my wrist will show, and I can go, oh, that's nothing to worry about. And I can just continue on what I'm doing. So I can at a glance see if something requires my attention or not. I can dismiss things easily. And just kind of go from there. Another step in wearable fitness or wearable technology is the Fitbit. Fitbit's been around for a while, mm-hmm. but they came out with the Flex, which is a bracelet, a Fitbit you clip on. The Fitbit Flex you wear is a bracelet, and it's wearable technology in that it's got a pedometer and a gyroscope and all manner of electronics that sync via Bluetooth to software that keeps track of your steps. How far you've walked, kind of. I don't think it has a heart rate monitor in it. I could be wrong. I'd have to check. But it keeps track. It watches your sleep rhythms. And it reports all that back to you. So it is a live fitness alert system to keep you aware of the fitness level of your life.
Hmm.
And a lot of people are excited about this. A lot of people have already had Fitbits. But there were clip-ons, and you could lose them, and a lot of people would wash them accidentally because you put it in your pocket and things like that. And so this watch one now, and it's waterproof, so you can just wear it, and a lot of people are really excited about it.
I can understand that.
And then there were a lot of unawesome things at CES.
As there always are.
Yeah. Something that some people liked, but a lot of people hated, was the Happy Fork.
The Happy Fork?
This is a fork that notifies you when you're eating too quickly. Because when you eat too quickly, you eat more because your body doesn't have the ability to tell you you're full yet.
Uh-huh.
And so if the fork senses you're eating too fast, uh-huh. it starts to vibrate to tell you, stop eating so quickly.
And that's going
to
make you stop?
If you spent the hundreds of dollars on a vibrating fork, I would hope you'd have the self-control to stop.
Okay, so Happy Fork.
Happy Fork. And then the one that got the most attention, I think, as far as product-wise, most scorn, was the iPotty. And is a.
I'm not sure I want to even know, but let's go.
It's a potty training seat
mm-hmm.
With an iPad stand built into it,
okay.
And it's a case. So obviously you don't want your child who's potty training touching your iPad.
Yeah.
So it snaps into this protective case, but it sits there, and so while your child's sitting there learning to go potty, they can interact with an iPad.
and
a lot of people that brought up a lot of concern and hate.
Tyrell Dennison is our tech ambassador at Ozarks at Large. He was discussing the new product showcased at this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Support for KUAF comes from the Rogers Historical Museum, offering real objects, true stories, family fun, and lifelong learning. Current exhibits include Benton County crime stories, Building Rogers, and To Cap It All Off, an exhibit on hats and hat making. Located in historic downtown Rogers, 621-1154 or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information.
It is Tuesday, the 22nd of January, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We're inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, and with us, as she often is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Tuesday is apparently the new something.
In other words, there's a lot going on.
In other words, there's a lot going on.
January is the new March.
January
good
is
joke.
The new March.
Yeah.
It used to be we were sitting around in January going, gee, I wish I had something to talk about.
Right.
Not so much. This is the first of this year's Distinguished Global Speaker Series at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. And Ambassador Daniel Lau, who is Director General of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Houston, that was exhausting,
mm-hmm.
will speak at noon today. So you need to skitter on over there.
Or be in there right now.
You should be there right now.
Right.
But if you skitter on over there, you'll catch up. He's at the Latour Conference Center at the UAFS Business and Industrial Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're close, go. If you're not so close, go to the artist reception from 5 to 7 tonight at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville for Scott Carroll's exhibit, Tectonics.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a lot of fun. The show continues through April 14th. And a show I really want to go to, The Steel Wheels are in Fayetteville.
I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Uh-huh.
Yes, with
Christina
Lee Pennyacre.
Will also be there as
yes,
well.
Yes, if you would like to meet the KUAF staff, just go to George's tonight because
I may just.
I think a lot of us are going, yeah.
Show starts at 9 o'clock and Three Penny Acres playing. Tickets are $8.
Yeah.
$8?
Yep.
Is that a misprint?
No.
Okay.
It's
well, we should all be there. See you tonight.
All right. Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
This number is specially for all the little boys and girls. If you'll listen real close, you'll hear the harmonica call for its mama and call for a drink of water. It goes like this.
La, 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 la.
Lonnie Glosson prided himself on being a professional harmonica player and a hobo. Born February 14, 1908 in Judsonia, Glosson got into music at an early age and was taught by his mother, Cora.
When I was about 10 years old, she played the harmonica, see. We lived at Newport then, picking cotton. And so she said, if you'll pick 200 pounds today, I'll give you a quarter so you can go to town and get your harmonica. I'll pick 200 pounds by 2 o'clock. She gave me a quarter and I beat it to town. We only lived about a mile and a half out of town. Showed me how to play Home Sweet Home, and I learned that, so picked it up from there.
Glosson traveled around the United States by train and earned a living playing harmonica in barbershops, street corners, and radio stations.
Hey, boys, that sure ain't no fox. No, sir, it's a cat. My, what claws.
From KMOX in St. Louis, the White County native went to WLS's National Barn Dance in Chicago. He recorded for Paramount's Broadway label in 1932. Glosson recorded the Arkansas Hard Luck Blues in 1936, which the Country Music Hall of Fame called an early example of the talking blues popularized by Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan. The same year, he established a musical partnership with Wayne Rainey, a harmonica player from Wolf Bio, Arkansas, who was a disciple of Glosson. In 1938, the harmonica players had a program on KARK Radio. The pair stayed together for decades. In 1949, they wrote Why Don't You Haul Off and Love Me with Rainey on vocals. Released by King Records with Hot Springs native Henry Glover at the helm, it hit number one.
Why don't you haul off and love me one more time? Why don't you squeeze me until I'm turning blind? If you don't cuddle up and love me like I want you to do, I'm gonna haul off and die over you.
Besides the success of Why Don't You Haul Off and Love Me, which also became an R&B hit, Lonnie Glosson recorded for Decca and Mercury, and with Wayne Rainey had a national show on WCKY in Cincinnati and began writing and recording with the Delmore Brothers, including the Delmores' massive hit, Blues Stay Away From Me. That song was covered by countless artists and co-written again and recorded with Hot Springs' Henry Glover. Glosson said he missed out on the writing of the song because he wanted to take a nap, but played on the recording session.
Wayne come in, woke me up. He said, come in and said, come in here and said, get in on this here song. I said, we're writing a song. I said, oh, I'm sleepy, I don't want to. So I just stayed asleep, you know. And so it went over big. That blues stay away from me went good.
Blues stay away from me. Blues, why don't you let me? Don't know why you keep on haunting me.
As the years wore on, Lonnie Glosson, also a talented vocalist and guitarist, delved more into gospel music.
Nicodemus came by night. Jesus told him what was right. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old?
Lonnie Glosson and Wayne Rainey sold harmonicas by mail order, eventually selling millions. Later, Glosson, with the nickname the Talking Harmonica Man, toured schools and played concerts all over the South and Midwest. The van he toured in had a variety of inspirational slogans and witticisms on the outside, from God is love to enjoy a healthy sexual relationship.
Wayne passed away a few years back. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but right now I feel pretty good.
Thanks mostly to his harmonica skills, Lonnie Glosson traveled all over the country, but found his way back to his native White County. He died in Searcy, where he had made his home, at age 93 on March 2, 2001, a few months after this interview was recorded for Arkansas Songs. Here in its entirety is Judsonia native Lonnie Glosson's Pan American Boogie from 1949 with Wayne Rainey and the Delmore Brothers.
Listen here, folks, if you want to take a ride, get a ticket on a train to call an ill and then pride and let the Pan American Boogie. Lordy, lordy, what a train. Takes off in Cincinnati and boogies down to New Orleans. With a headlight swinging from side to side, it's the best streamliner that you ever will ride. And watch the Pan American Boogie. Lordy, lordy, what a train. Takes off from Cincinnati and boogies down to New Orleans. Well, your boogies on down to Louisville. If the gals won't kiss you, then the racehorse will. Watch the Pan American Boogie. Lordy, lordy, what a train. Takes off from Cincinnati and boogies down to New Orleans. There's a little gal down in Nashville, Tennessee. She'll be at the station, cars are waiting down for me. Watch the Pan American Boogie. Lordy, lordy, what a train. Takes off in Cincinnati and boogies down to New Orleans. Then she comes a-flying into Birmingham, the magic city down in Alabama. What's a Pan American Boogie? Lordy, lordy, what a train. Takes off from Cincinnati and boogies down to New Orleans.
Lonnie Glosson of Judsonia with Pan American Boogie from 1949. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
Arkansas Songs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. For more information, visit arkansongs.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grady.
And we are pleased to have back with us Shannon Wurst, singer, songwriter, and entertainer extraordinaire.
Thanks for having me back.
The reason you're here, we're going to talk about your fifth CD, which is Lionheart Love, and the somewhat unique CD release party you're going to have for
Yeah, I'm really excited about the CD release. The CD project's been a really large portion of this last year and actually beyond that for me. So I was brainstorming ways to be able to present the music to my fans and to the public and the community around here in Fayetteville, and I've come up with what I think is a pretty exciting format to showcase the music.
I want to ask you about that format in a minute, but first, Bozeman, Montana?
Yeah.
This was recorded in Bozeman.
It was recorded at Base Camp Studio in Bozeman, Montana. It's a really beautiful studio. It overlooks the mountains, so it's a very inspiring place and relaxing place to be able to create music.
How'd you find out about this place?
A friend of mine, actually Connor Garvey, who produced this album, had recorded at that studio before, and he recommended it,
and I talked to the engineer there, and he sounded terrific, and it kind of intrigued me to have kind of a destination album, to be able to take myself and the musicians out of our everyday lives and spend two intensive weeks in a place that's beautiful, to be there only to create this album.
So you'd wake up, go in the studio?
Yeah, wake up. Started at 8 o'clock in the morning usually. I wasn't quite ready to sing at 8 o'clock in the morning. But we started usually putting instrument tracks down and work till midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock some nights. There's a couple tracks on the album that I can certainly tell what hour they were recorded. But in the end, they kind of serve the song, and we actually meant to record them at later in the day because the song sounds nice, I think, with that type of voice that's nice and worn and hard.
What's an example of one of the later in the day songs?
The one that comes to mind is a song called Don't Let Me Die in the City, which is actually written by a local. His name is Josh Wardlaw. He's originally from Missouri, but you'll see him around these parts a lot. Mm-hmm. He'll be playing at the CD release show as well. And he actually wrote the song, and I heard him play it one night, and I thought it was lovely and asked him if I could record it. And of course, he said yes.
Then lay my head down on concrete. Don't let my last words bounce off these city streets. I'd have plenty to say if I was passing away with my family back home in Missouri.
Now there's a Kickstarter element and an Arkansas Fellowship Award element to getting this album up off the ground. So can you speak a little bit about that?
Right. So like I was saying before, this album's kind of been in process for a long time. Not only the songs have been coming to life for the last few years, but also it takes a lot as an indie artist to go into a nice studio. There's a lot of options with laptops and GarageBand, but I really did want that nice studio experience. So I was lucky enough last year to get the Arkansas Fellowship Award, and that was kind of the base of what I started this project with. And from there, I went to Kickstarter, asked my fans to basically just pre-buy the album, and then I, of course, had some other options there for them, too, if they would like to help me fund the project a little more. That got me out to Montana and into the studio, and slowly but surely able to raise the funds to actually do the duplication. So it's a long process. So it's really fun to be on this side of it and actually look at the album, hear the album, and see people's reaction to it. This is what I've been working on for the last year or so.
So is the award kind of like a grant? Is it something you had to apply for?
It is something you had to apply for, and they change basically what, how do you put it? They change the categories every year. Mm-hmm. So this last year they had folk music composition, and I applied for it and told them what I'd like to do with the money and was able to receive that. So it was a really big honor. There's a big ceremony with the governor and lots of people, and I really felt special in that way that I wanted to represent Arkansas and Arkansas music. So a lot of that feeling, I think, went into this album.
You have a partnership with Tricycle Theater, too.
Yeah.
And that's part of the release party.
It is part of the release party. A portion of the ticket proceeds will be going to help raise money for Trike, which will help them buy supplies for their summer camps, as well as just some general other things that they're needing. Trike, I don't know if you've seen any of their productions, but it's a really great children's theater. It's a great staff of people. I've been able to get to know them throughout the last, I guess, couple years, because I've been working with them on a play called Bear State of Mind that is for K through second graders, and I've been on their creative team music for that. And so I got to know them, and I wanted to be able to help their organization out for their summer camps. And so we started talking about partnership, and I said, I have a CD coming out. Let's just do it now. So that's kind of how that was born.
And this is your fifth studio album. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came up with the title for it?
Yeah, a lot of people ask that question, and I think it was the hardest part after writing all of the songs to come up with a few words to describe all those songs. I just went back and forth over what that was going to be. I know it's really popular to actually take a song and that be the title.
Right, but
track.
There is no song Lionheart Love on this, is there?
There's not, and what Lionheart Love ended up representing to me is the feeling that I have, that is the passion that goes into my music and all the sacrifices that we make as artists to lay it out there on the line and trust that this path in our life will work. Takes a lot of courage. So I was just thinking about all my friends and songwriters and musicians and artists that do this for a living and for their livelihood. And Lionheart Love really represented their, like, passion. And that's what the album means to me.
You have to love it, right?
You do. And there's really no reason not to. I have a really fun job. I have a fun life, a fun job. I love it. It's great.
Well, that's going to extend over into this release party. Let's talk about this fun release party that's going to have kind of a fictional radio show going on.
Yes.
And some interpretive creation.
You got it.
We're going to walk into Greenhouse Grill, and what happens?
Sounds like more than music.
It is going to be more than music. I've played a lot of shows over the years, and I sing a lot of story songs, and I love to tell the stories behind the songs and then go into the songs, and I feel that people connect with them because that is my format. And I was brainstorming how I could extend that a little bit more. Are there people acting this out? So what we've come up with the help of Jason Sewell, if you know him, mm-hmm. He will actually be our radio host for the evening. So when you come into Greenhouse Grill, you will be transformed into a radio audience. And there's some fun audience participation points in the evening as well.
Excellent.
But yeah. We have some really great actors who are coming to actually act out the stories behind the song before I sing them. And then there's also some video footage that correspond with the songs, some photographs that had actually inspired the songs. And then lastly, one of my songs, Montana, on the album. When I recorded it, I hadn't made this connection, but my family, we were looking at slides one night, and there were all these beautiful old Montana slides, and it all occurred to me that I'm like, my grandmother had grown up in Montana.
Wow.
And so I ended up taking the old slide projector and making a slideshow out of the family slides to play behind the song. There's been a lot of thought put into it, and it's going to be really fun.
When you say a slide projector, it isn't the old carousel type.
Yes.
Is it really?
Which, of course, you know, has all kinds of possibilities of breaking down in the middle of the show, but if all works well,
right.
That clicking sound,
yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
I think, I just love that sound, and I think with this particular song, Montana, it is a really good feel to it. So I'm excited for the sound of the click, if for nothing else.
You could be in radio.
Well, the tickets can be bought in advance for $10 at shannonwurst.com. They're $12 at the door.
That's right.
You mentioned, proceeds, some of the proceeds will go to Trike, but also to Caring Bridge.
Caring Bridge, actually, the proceeds will go to Caring Bridge from the album sales.
Okay.
I dedicated this album to three different people, one being my Aunt Annette, my cousin Brandy. Those two actually passed away since the release of the album. They both had cancer. And my cousin Brandy, who was really sick when I was putting this all together, we all kept in touch through Caring Bridge, and it's a really great organization. If you have a sick family member, it's a lot better than Facebook for sharing that type of information. And then it's also dedicated to my sweet Aunt Susie. So yeah, there's a lot of family in this album, and I think it's important to keep giving. So that's why I've set up both the CD release show and the album to benefit other people as well.
Will you go on tour?
I will go on tour starting in April. Yep, I have the Sprinter van already.
How many miles you got on the van now?
Oh, Lord.
Any idea?
I have put 23,000 on it in about 10 months. So,
you're getting some mileage.
Yeah, okay. I got quite a bit on it this last year, and then I'm looking forward to touring this album. It'll be a much pared-down version of the release show, but I'm excited to kind of take this new format of playing music and shows.
Do you know how far you'll be traveling?
That's yet to be determined, but I do have an East Coast tour that'll take me all the way up to Maine, so definitely to Maine and back. I'm looking to go to Alaska, if you know anybody in Alaska.
Okay.
I don't, but
I'm sure
maybe somebody out
listening
there
might be able to help us out.
I do a lot of house concerts, so some of my tours are set up so that I'm going and opening shows in people's living room, and they're inviting 45 or so of their friends, 30 of their friends over, and we're doing these nice, small, intimate-type shows. So that's one way I travel, and then I also do a lot of small theater stuff and work in schools. I'm still doing a lot of children's music as well, which is really fun. So there's a variety of shows that I get to do that no two shows are ever completely the same.
Well, that's good, though, right?
Absolutely. I love it that way.
Greenhouse Grill, Sunday night, the 27th.
Got it.
Doors open at 5?
Doors open at 5. Show's going to start at 6. There's going to be appetizers and drinks available. Trike Theater will also be there. They'll be accepting donations and kind of talking about what they do. And I highly encourage everybody to stop and talk to some Trike people, because it's a really great program here in Northwest Arkansas for kids. Other than that, you should just come prepared to have some fun.
Will you do all of the songs?
I will do all the songs from the album, and we'll do some to-be-announced fun songs that I think everybody will recognize, but I don't want to give too much away.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank
Congratulations.
You thanks
it's
so
a
much
beautiful
for
looking
having
CD.
Me. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And one more thing about Shannon Wurst. Tonight, she's at the Starving Artist Cafe in North Little Rock recording an edition of Tales from the South.
That'll air sometime in February?
Yes, in February. So, Mark Lyndon Smith from Fayetteville, playwright and writer, was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now Shannon Wurst. So, and that airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on KUAF.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Wheeler.
I know why you picked Wheeler.
Why?
Because the steel wheels are in town tonight.
They are in town.
At George's Majestic Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing Laura, my wife, asked me was, what time do you think the music starts? Well, it starts 7.
No, doors open at 7,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, doors open at 7. Show starts
right.
at 8.
We don't do that many Tuesday night live shows. So.
Sure.
yeah, so looking forward to that.
Good.
You and I back together tomorrow for a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.
Yep.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We'll go out with some music from the Steel Wheels.
Have a good day.